Welcome to the Rock.
Hey everybody, thanks for downloading this episode of the Black Gold Podcast, brought to you by ZBox Mattress. Go to ZBoxMattress.com right away. I was trying to say something in Spanish, uno momento, but that's not what that means. I was trying to be clever, but it's not working.
It's April 27th. You're like a week early for that.
Seriously, go to ZBoxMattress.com. Use promo code Black and Gold. You're going to get 10% off your entire order. And you're going to sleep well. I actually got a couple text messages in the last month from listeners that were like, hey, about to buy a mattress. What was the promo code again? I'm like, do you not listen to the intro? I say it every week. It's Black and Gold.
Yeah, at this point, you know how it goes, though. I mean,
they're tuning out.
Plus episodes. It's you pull that sucker up and you go skip, 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 skip. You get 3 minutes in.
Don't skip. Come on, folks. Come on. We got love for ZBox. Come on, let's go. But no, in all seriousness, best mattress I've ever slept on. I get a great night's sleep every single night. Use the ZBox pillow as well. Check them out. App State grads own ZBox mattress. It ships directly to your door in a box. It's very convenient. Great products, materials sourced in the United States, made here in Western North Carolina. You can't ask for a better night's sleep. ZBoxMattress.com. I am your host, Alex Johnson. With me, as always, the world's most famous App State fan, Big C. Big C, what's going on?
You wouldn't skip sleep, would you?
No.
So don't skip the ads. All right. It's part of it. You don't get your pie without your crust or your filling. You know, you got to get it all.
You make great points. You make great points. We got a really special episode tonight. All season long, we've talked about, you know, hey, we need to have a wrestling show. It's not lost on Charles and I that we have a great wrestling program. We've known that. But we wanted to have an episode, and we've said for a long time that we want Coach Bentley to be the first wrestling person that we have on. And that's tonight. We have Coach John Mark Bentley, who is, I think, saying that Coach Bentley, I think saying that he does a good job does not do it justice. He does a phenomenal job with the wrestling program. Just really kicks butt left and right. So we're really happy. Arguably does the best job of anybody on campus in sports. So really thrilled to have him on. We're getting a turn, Charles. We're getting a turn from Jeremy Barnes from having time with Coach Bentley. So we need to make
Stealing
it count.
His content. content on loan.
Okay, we like that. But we know Jeremy Barnes and the Grind Podcast, they do a great job. Covering App State Wrestling, and they deserve it. So it's been really cool to see Jeremy do that. But we have other things to talk about. We're going to talk about App State Baseball here. Charles, man, not a lot of good things. Yeah. Not a lot of good things.
It's the best way to put it.
Yeah.
We had an opportunity to have what we thought was going to be a strong series on the road, mm-hmm. Maybe pick up some wins, and it just didn't happen.
No.
But, you know, we also touched on this part of it last week, is that it seems that playing on the road in the Sun Belt in baseball has been tough. And I don't know if the teams have had, you know, where there would be some bus trips that would be flights, and they're having to take another extra bus trip, and all that's worn on them over the course of the season, maybe, perhaps. I don't know. But it is a long ride down there to Troy.
Yeah.
This series is kind of not just about one thing. I mean, you have a Friday night game that was a pitcher's duel. Does happen.
Yep.
And literally one swing of the bat, you know, one play here or there in a game like that could be the difference.
Yeah.
Swinging it one way or the other. The other part I have a problem with, though, is Troy that needs a meteorology department at their university, because they sat around and watched it rain on the field for hours upon hours on Saturday before calling it.
Yeah.
And so we're stuck out there, nowhere else to go except the hotel, watch it rain, get tired, not having any idea what might happen. I feel like there was a little gamesmanship there. So they canceled the Saturday game, comes a Sunday doubleheader.
Yeah.
So you're waking up on Sunday, you're thinking about not playing Saturday. You've got, what is it, 9 hours, 7 a.m., whatever it is. It's long. And you got to play two baseball games. You're starting at noon. And so you know that it's going to take a, you know, pretty good long while to get back to your beds that night. All this plays, you know, into a factor in all this. And unfortunately, it just didn't work out. It just didn't seem like we were up for Sunday. Because we didn't really look good in either of those games. And across the whole weekend, we scored 6 home runs. In 25 innings, because the final game was cut short due to a run rule.
So here's something that, you know, we texted back and forth a little bit this weekend about, and I sound like a broken record at this point, but I mean, our lineup is not producing, and that's a statement of statistical fact. We had this weekend, you said, what was it, 6 runs? Is that what you said?
Six runs.
So we scored 6 runs. How many extra base hits do we have?
I think there was 2 the entire weekend. Is that
2 the entire weekend? Okay, and this really becomes the Achilles heel. And you know, I'm going to make an observation because we got swept on the road. I will say this: Friday night was a heck of a game. Garrett looks like Gainis pitching for Troy. Dude could pitch. Yeah, you know, I watched him a little bit, keeping the ball low. Had really good command of his fastball. Really could put it wherever he wanted to look like. Good off-speed pitch. He gave up 3 hits over 7 1/3, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts. Did really well. But I think what's kind of lost in that is Tyler Tuttle threw really well too. He threw 6 innings and only gave up 2 runs. And in college baseball, again, sound like a broken record, but if your starting pitcher is giving you 6 innings, giving up 2 runs, you gotta help him out. But still, sometimes you're right, Pixie. You just run into it. There's a pitcher's duel. We got 4 hits. They got 5. Shout out to Eli Ellington for, you know, really shutting it down in the last 2 innings of that game. So did want to mention that. That Friday night game was great. But, man, our lineup is just not producing in a way that you have to produce to win ball games, and especially in this conference. And, you know, I looked at watched a little bit of our game against NC State. Got to watch that on the ESPN Pluses. And one thing that, man, I don't like seeing, and I know you don't like it either, Charles, is, man, body language doesn't look good. And it's not a body language of, and it's just my two eyes, right? This is what I see. It's not guys that like are disgusted with each other or don't want to be there. It's like it feels like they're disappointed because I think the hopes of going in and playing better in conference, and even, you know, and we did these weekday games. I think these guys aren't meeting what the expectations that they want. That's what it looks like to me. Kind of watch them a little bit, just body language wise.
And last night was actually encouraging to me because, you know, we go to state and we get trounced 13-2.
Yeah.
But last night, you know, this was a game that was pretty tight late, and we had the bases loaded in the 7th and the 8th inning and only could get 1 across. And, you know, you're talking about a base hit here and or there, and it gives you a better chance in the, you know, in that next inning. You know, if you score 2 in the 7th, then all of a sudden it's 7-5, and then the pressure is back on state because they were done scoring in the 7th, and they didn't really have a big inning. They scored 2 in the 1st and 2 in the 5th, and that's a lot better than giving up 13.
Yes, it is.
But you know, and we got the hits against them. You know, midweek. Pitched the lineup from state, and we had 9, but we had an error that allowed a run to score that was one of those. It was like a double pickoff move, first and third. The guy on first like took off way early. It was pretty obvious what the idea was from the start, and we snuffed it out, but we didn't make the throw to home like we needed to.
Yeah,
and then because of that, another runner advances. And that's kind of thing. Well, I think that was what happened in the 5th. But we really did a good job holding state at bay for the most part. And this is a team, NC State, that was just starting their hot streak when we played them last time around, and they're still on it.
Yeah.
They had a big sweep over Virginia Tech over the cross the weekend. And they, Virginia Tech, who was, I think, previously ranked, but probably should be unranked if you get swept by an unranked team.
Yeah.
But I thought we played better. It was just, it was kind of like the story of the season, like being that hit or that pitch or that throw away that can make the difference in a game going, tilting from being competitive to like semi-lopsided. But I mean, you know, we scored that run in the eighth and that got us a 7-3. That gives yourself a chance in the ninth because it's only four runs versus five. It's a big difference in baseball.
Especially if you're loading the bases. And this is my point with how, you know, our lineup, not advancing the runners, but not like bloop single, we need bases. Okay. So if you have a bases clearing double, you don't need a grand slam. Bases clearing double, hit in the alley, hit down the line. All of a sudden, if you do that and the base is loaded in the seventh or the eighth, then you're looking at 7-6 going into the ninth. I'm not putting the weight, you understand, like baseball's a team sport. And this is what's so cool about baseball is you kind of are who you are. I've said that before, and it becomes probabilities. Like after a while, like our team batting average right now is 240. Okay, so there's a 24% chance, we're gonna get a hit, at every 10 at bats or whatever. So, or at this any present at bat. If you aren't getting those big hits, those extra base hits, those home runs and those doubles, you're not creating those two or three run innings where you need them. You got some guys on base and you rip a double. We're missing that bad. And the guys know that. And I feel kind of silly saying that out loud because, I mean, they know that. They know this. They know they need it. And I don't have anything to give them. I don't have advice to give them. I'm not a hitting coach. So, but what I do know is leaving a lot of guys on base and not advancing the runners and not scoring the runs you need to score to be competitive in the Sun Belt. And it's been a hard road. And one thing that I keep going back to, Charles, I was thinking about this today in anticipation, talking about tonight, we basically go 0-4 between episodes, right? Which is not good. But man, at the end of the day, man, when you think of the Sun Belt, if you looked at the average app fan, you said, hey, what's the Sun Belt's best sport? Unless they're really super paying attention, but if you go just pick an average app fan and say, what's the Sun Belt's best sport? I mean, look, since we've been here, we've been ranked, Coastal Carolina had their flash, Louisiana's making some noise. Probably be easy to say, football, when really it's probably softball. It's probably the best sport.
Right, but it's the stick sports for sure.
The stick sports, the bases.
On the depth level.
100%. And it's not, and I'm disappointed that we haven't been able to break through the glass ceiling of that over 500, getting close to 30 wins. Like, I want that bad. Right. I know the team wants it bad. But we all have to be realistic, not about what we can control, but like who's swimming in the water with us. And it's just tough. It's a tough conference. It's tougher to play winning baseball, to recruit a winning or to build a winning baseball team at App State. Some people don't like that. I don't like it. No one likes it, but it is what it is. And that isn't to, say we don't care. We want to win. But I do think, you got to look at things from a 30,000 foot level sometimes and understand that not only is it already difficult to play competitive baseball on the mountain, just is, you're doing it in probably the fifth or sixth best baseball conference in the country. How many conferences are there? 25? Somewhere like 20?
There's a few more than that, but not that RPI means anything much anymore because of the weird scheduling this year, but ninth, which is still strong year as far as RPI rank.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But it's still, man, it's tough. It's kind of hurt me because like I'm looking at basketball. I'm going like, look, we went from terrible to like winning the conference in the span of 3 and 4 years, right? In baseball, I don't think we are at the depths that basketball was at all. But it is what it is, and I believe in what we got. Just kind of looking at it from like just looking at what do we need, what's missing. We're missing some arms in our staff, no question about it. But I think some power in our bats. That's been our weakness. That's been the glaring, in my opinion, that's been the glaring weakness. and going at who we got coming up?
We got Monroe, which is who are last in the West at 5-10 overall in the conference, played with 18-19 across all games, and they've kind of warmed up and they got a bat back, and they've won 5 in a row. So great timing, right?
Yeah,
but they have to come to Boone. That's a big part of it.
Yep.
And where, you know, once again, we talk about being on the road and being at home. Monroe's 5-12 on the road this year, 12-7 at home. So, and that's a haul of a trip, you know? Yeah. So it's not like it's easy to get to Boone from Louisiana. We all know that, right, Husbeth? So, you know, but and funny enough, I didn't know this was happening. Monroe played Louisiana last night on the road and won after being swept earlier in the season. That was a non-conference matchup last night.
Oh, wow.
So they're starting to get a little bit of that, you know, they're starting to smell it and sniff it. And yeah. And if you take away their last loss was to LSU on the road. I mean, that's you know, a given loss most years, even though when LSU was down. But then they beat Little Rock twice in a row before that. And then had a game that they lost 2-0, similar to how App and Troy were on Friday night. So they're playing better ball than they were. So,
yeah.
You know, Monroe may be on the rise, and we might be catching them at the right time or the wrong time. But either way, they're coming to Boone, and they got to shut us down for 27 innings, and we'll see what happens.
And I do want to say this, too. I love watching Kermit's post-game videos that he does. And I know Kermit, we both obviously have had a great relationship with him since he got to campus. I'm so happy that a guy like him is representing App State. And I know that the program's not where he would have it if he had all the power in the world, obviously. But man, I love the this kind of shows you the kind of leader that I think he is, man, it's hard to go out there after you lost your fourth in a row and say, and, you know, speak with confidence and to project, you know, positivity. And he does it, you know, he does it. And I think he loves putting content out there for, you know, for App fans. And man, I just really admire. Yeah. I love watching after loss, how people react. Some people react very poorly after a loss, but, you know, still pulling for the Diamond Apps to make some noise and to get a big sweep. We really would love a sweep against Monroe this weekend. Hopefully, knock on wood, hopefully I'll be able to, you know, unless there's rain or something on Friday.
It's supposed to be nice.
So on Friday it is?
It's supposed to be nice all weekend, the last I checked. No.
Okay. Well, let's
pull up the Chrome weather app and we'll find out that Friday a little windy, okay. Saturday sunshine, mid-60s, Sunday cloudy and 73. You'll take that.
I'll take that. I can only go to Friday, but I'll take it. I'll take it. However, shout out to Daphne for hooking us up with some fire pit tickets. But we're gonna wrap this up now. We'll wrap this segment up because we got John Mark Bentley in the virtual studio. I don't know if he can hear us or not. I think he can. But for now, we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, Coach John Mark Bentley. Actually, I have one more thing to bring up here, and that is Amy Gakin. She sponsored our basketball coverage this year. I want to give a shout out to Amy. If you are in the Charlotte area and you need to buy or sell your home, buy home, or you have a home, you need to sell it in the Charlotte area, look no further than Amy Gakin. Her and her husband Tom have been living going on 3 decades in Charlotte. They've seen it go from you know, a growing city to now, you know, it's exploding. She knows all the best places. And hey, everybody knows, I say it all the time, but it's true, it's a seller's market, okay? So if you're selling your home, you want to get top dollar for it. But man, if you're buying a home, you need to get the most for your buck, okay? And you need somebody that knows what in the world they're talking about. Amy's the right person to go to. 704-905-9189 is her cell phone. You can call or text A. Gakin. That's AGOEKEN at myhomenorthcarolina.com is her email address. And I'm telling you, she's a hustler. She knows the market. She knows where that value is. And she's going to get moving and help you get your family into the home of your dreams or sell your home so you can go on to the next stage of life. Maybe you're moving out of town. Doesn't matter to me. But we thank Amy for sponsoring the podcast. But anyway, all things being equal, grab a smoking jacket, a pipe, or a nice cigar. Find your favorite beverage, a comfy place to sit, and get ready for the soothing sounds of App State Wrestling's John Mark Bentley. And we are live. We're live now in the BGP Lounge and the 333 Club on Facebook. And for the first time ever, we have Coach John Mark Bentley with us. Coach, man, we're real excited about having you on here. Thanks for taking the time out of your evening to chat with a couple fanboys.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me on, and appreciate all you do to support Appalachian athletics.
Yeah, well, you know, we know for sure anybody that has eyes and can read knows just the wild success that App State Wrestling has. And it's so cool, you know, Jeremy Barnes, you know, we reference him a lot when we talk about, you know, wrestling and doing the Grind podcast. He collaborates with you guys all the time and giving you guys the attention you deserve because of just the cool stuff you're doing, all the success you've had. But I'm really interested to know, and this is what we do on here when we talk to coaches, you know, try to take a different spin with things just personally. You're an Avery County guy.
Yeah, I'm local. I grew up in I grew up in Burke County, just right across the Avery County line.
Okay. But,
my mom taught in Avery County school system. My parents worked in Avery County, and so I went to school in Avery County. And so not far from home.
So we're in Burke County. My mom and my mom's side of the family are all from Burke County, like north. I think northwest of Morganton, like the Oak Hill area. We're
I mean, literally just right across Avery County.
Just right across, like, yeah.
Jonas Ridge. All the kids in that district go to school in Avery. Yeah.
Okay. How far away is that from Boone? Is that's you're looking at like 45 minutes?
Yeah, something like that. About 40, 45 minutes it takes me to get to my parents' house now.
Okay. So what was your journey from being, you know, the all-star wrestler that you were at Avery High School to being at App State?
Well, I was fortunate enough out of high school. I got recruited to wrestle and by a couple of different schools, and ended up choosing University of North Carolina and wrestled, accepted a scholarship there and wrestled there at North Carolina, and was part of some really good teams. I was a 3-time ACC champion, and after my wrestling career ended, I was actually an assistant coach at Davidson College for a year, and just kind of knew that the sport had kind of provided me with so many opportunities. I'd built so many relationships through the sport of wrestling, and felt like that God had blessed me with a gift in this sport, and I just really didn't see myself getting very far from wrestling, and was blessed to be able to have a coaching opportunity. And after Davidson, I actually was the high school coach at Watauga High School for 3 years.
Wow.
And we had some pretty cool success there. I had I coached 3 wrestlers on that team in those 3 years that all wrestled Division I. My last year, we had 3 state champions, and all 3 of them were coming back. And all 3 of them ended up wrestling in Division I, which was pretty spectacular. And then I came to App as an assistant. I think it was 2006, if I'm not mistaken. I think that was the year I came to App as an assistant. Was an assistant for 2 years, then an associate head coach for 1. And then in, I guess it would have been 2009, became the head coach here. And so, been at it, I guess finished up year 12 this year. So,
wow. Go ahead, Charles.
I'm curious. It's been 12 years now. And I don't know that a lot of this gets talked about as often, but you established what you've done here, but you also had to follow like a pretty big legend as far as wrestling goes.
Yeah, Appalachian's got a great tradition, a great history. If you look back at just the success the program's had, all the way back in the 50s and the 60s. If you come by our wrestling facilities, you'll see all the, the All-Americans we've had and conference champions. And there's been some pretty special things happen to this program. I felt blessed. I mean, I always, thought this would be a program that I'd love to lead. And when that opportunity came, it was, I was very fortunate. I think we had some struggles, at that time, when I first came to App, we were struggling a little bit, but, kind of got things going in the right direction. We've really experienced a lot of, groundbreaking and record-breaking success here in these last 5 or 6 years. And so, you know, continue to look to keep building, so make the alumni proud and, you know, all of our fans and the great university.
Looking up some, you know, your bio and just some, you know, information about your history here, here this week. You didn't lose in high school.
Yeah, that's right.
That's killer.
He's humble about it.
That's incredible. That's incredible. And I guess, and the thing that caught my eye, and I don't know why, you know, I mean, this is pretty sweet. I understand that, you know, not making it about you or anything, but you won the national championship in 1997 high school wrestling. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's wild. I mean, it's not wild. I mean, that's awesome. What, does that give you some cred when you're bringing in recruits saying, hey, man, you know, this is my pedigree, you know, from high school to college and what I could do. I mean, that has to swing a big stick.
Well, I think obviously, young wrestlers obviously look at, your accomplishments as a wrestler. But, you know, to a lot of these young guys that I'm recruiting now, I mean, they weren't even born when I was, competing in high school. So I think it's kind of irrelevant. But, I had a pretty good college career as well. But,
yeah.
You know, honestly, the biggest thing that I sell in recruiting is just the success that I've had coaching, you know.
Yeah.
And, just kind of sell, like, look, this is what we've done here. This is what you could be a part of. One of our big pitches, you know, when we're recruiting, you know, young, student athletes, wrestlers to this university, is we really set the bar high. I mean, I think in the last 20 years, I think that's right. The last 20 or 19 years, Appalachian, the whole athletics department's had 5 Division I All-Americans, and I've coached 4 of them.
Yeah.
and so, you know, that's something that I can look and point to as a recruit and be like, hey, you know, we produce all Americans here too. It's not just, you know, we're winning a conference championship here and there, but, you know, if you really want to wrestle at the highest level, we can get you there. And, we've obviously been ranked top 25, 4 out of the last 6 years, won conference championships 4 out of the last 6 years. This year we broke a program record with 7 NCAA qualifiers. It'd never been done before.
Yep.
So there's a lot of that stuff that I think is probably more relevant to the recruiting process than anything I did as a wrestler. More importantly is, you know, I think what our program can do for these young athletes.
I'm just saying it checks a box. That's all I'm saying. I'm 144 now. I've never lost.
I got you. I don't talk a whole lot about my wrestling career at this point.
I know, but it's still incredible. And the All-American stuff. What are some things that besides maybe the cliche stuff? What are some things that those 4 All-Americans had in common?
If you look at the 4 All-Americans that I've coached, I would say that all of them had a certain amount of mental toughness. They were able to push themselves to a point and to a level consistently that very few athletes can do.
Yeah.
And a sport like wrestling, it requires a tremendous amount of sacrifice and personal commitment anyway. And to be the elite of the elite, there's got to be something special. I mean, you've got to have you got to be able to make sacrifices and have a certain level of mental toughness that you know your average even your average Division I athlete doesn't have. And I will say all 4 of those guys have had extreme work ethics. Mm-hmm. They all had a blue collar type mentality. None of them, not one All-American have I coached, was a top 100 recruit coming out of high school. Mm-hmm. So they were all guys that were, you know, they worked their way into being an All-American. They were blue collar, really bought into our system. Made, extreme sacrifices, dedicated themselves to the plan and it paid off for them.
Was Trotman a heavyweight?
No, Trotman was a 184 pounder.
184. Okay.
In 2012, we had both, Austin Trotman and Kyle Blevins, both All Americans.
That's right.
Austin Trotman was 184 and Kyle Blevins was 165.
Sorry. I had several friends that were friends with Austin. He's a little bit younger than me, but I remember very vividly when those two were awarded All-American status. I couldn't remember if Austin was a heavyweight or not, because I was going to ask between him and Denzel who would have won if you put them together. I didn't know, but Different division, I understand.
Yeah, but they're both doing great things now.
Yeah.
And I have great relationships with all of them, and yeah, it's good to see them, you know, having so much success beyond wrestling and making an impact on a lot of other people's lives. And you know, that's one of the things I'm most proud of is how they represent this program once they leave.
What is Austin doing now, Austin Trotman?
So Austin has his own cabinetry shop in nice. Wilmington. He does a lot of woodworking, and he's actually trained for his first. I think he's had his second professional fight. He's going into mixed martial arts now.
Wow! And,
you may see him fighting sometime soon as well. I think he won his first pro fight, and I think he's got a second one coming up here soon.
That's great, man.
You just had someone recently I wasn't even aware. Was it a debut or what? Like a television debut? Explain this.
Tony Gravely, which he was on that team with Austin Trotman and Kyle Blevins. He was kind of overshadowed by those guys, but you know, he had a pretty good college career here himself. I mean, he was a 2-time Southern Conference champion for us, so he was no slouch. 2-time national qualifier. And, you know, he got into MMA in 2016. So he's been at it for like the last 5 years.
Okay.
And he just got a UFC contract a little over a year ago. And okay. So he just won his third fight of a 4-fight contract by TKO. He's 2-1 in the UFC. And, you know, his stock is really high right now. If you haven't watched, you can go on the ESPN app and pull up his name, probably watch his most recent fight. And, he's got one more fight left on this contract. Him and I spoke last week, and it looks like he could get a, you know, I think he'll have a really, you know, a pretty substantial contract coming from Dana White, the guys at the UFC.
That's awesome. So it's like his next fight, like a must win kind of situation, or do you have any idea?
You know, I don't know. I mean, he's 2-1, and he just got a the fight of the night bonus for his last fight. So he was so excited. So I think he's in a pretty good spot. I mean, a lot of people say that he's you know, the next big contender at that weight class, at the welter, or what is he at the? I don't know if he's at flyweight or bantamweight. 135.5 is what the weight class is. I'm not sure what that weight is.
How many more wins until he becomes best friends with Joe Rogan? That's really important to me.
I don't know. I'll have to ask Tony.
Hey, it's a big deal. No, that was really cool to see, you know, seeing that on Twitter and like, wow, I think I'm in the same boat as Charles. Like, what? Oh, that's crazy. And I guess that speaks to the success of the program when, you know, you have, you know, the two All-Americans outshine this guy that's also kind of moving and doing some great things as well. And Coach, I gotta ask you about this too. And I've been really excited to talk about this. But you know, Denzel Dejournet, and I pronounced that right, correct?
Dejournet.
See, we're bad with Charles. We're bad with the T names. You know, it's either a hard T or an A, and we mix that up from time to time here over the years. But you know, he's working in WWE now as a pro wrestler. I'm a big pro wrestling fan, and you know, I don't know. I really, you know, I don't know if that's a good thing now for, you know, amateur wrestlers or college wrestlers, but I've always had like a ton of respect for guys that are to an amateur wrestling in high school and, in college. And one of my favorite wrestlers growing up was Kurt Angle, who's the ultimate, you know, Olympic, you know, gold hero and everything else. What do you think about that? Are you a fan of pro wrestling? You care one way or the other? I know you're pulling for him, but.
Yeah, I don't care one way or other, to be honest with you. I knew, that was the potential to be in his future. His junior year, we were at the NCAA tournament, and I think it was after one of his wins, we went back in the backstage area, and there was a couple of WWE promoters that were back there kind of waiting as we came through, you know, one guy stopped us, talked to him, and gave him his card, and he was like a talent scout for WWE, and that started in his junior year because, I mean, obviously he's got a pretty big presence about him. He's a big man, you know, very athletic. It's a specimen to look at. And, you know, as his senior year, as he was doing a lot of great things and ended up All-American for us. And he's got a very, colorful personality.
Yeah, he does.
Just very energetic. Like, he's just, you know, he was a great team leader for us. I mean, he was, you know, very vocal and very passionate, and he just did a lot of great things for our program. He brought a lot of positive recognition, and, you know, very passionate about what he does. No matter what it is, he's very passionate about it. And so, you know, he has that entertainer personality. So I actually thought that he would thrive in the WWE just because of his personality.
Yeah.
You know, he's athletic and, you know, just got, you know, he's got a lot of the qualities that I think would make him successful in the WWE. And he seems to be happy. You know, every time him and I talk, he seems to be, you know, making his way, you know, climbing up the ladder, even though it's been a little slower than he's wanted it to be. But he seems to be doing great, loving it. And, you know, I know he's going to be successful at whatever he does. And, you know, he was a great student at App. I mean, I think he could go into business or whatever when that's all said and done. And he's going to do just fine.
Yeah. Man, I really – go ahead, Charles.
I'm curious. Does that happen all the time that you just run into, like, you know, entertainment wrestling? Like, was that something new? Like, it's backstage at the NCAA tournament or something like that, and some guy says, like, hey, you want to join the WWE or – I'm looking at, like, have you ever seen that before? I mean, that whole situation is interesting.
For me, it was my first experience because, you know, to be quite honest with you, Denzel was probably the first heavyweight that I had that was really, really successful at that level, at a national level where he was vying to be an All-American. And, you know, typically, you know, the smaller wrestlers below 200 pounds probably aren't getting a look from the WWE.
Yeah.
So for me, it was the first time I had witnessed anything like this. And it might've been going on at the national tournament, but I just wasn't paying attention to it.
Right.
Until it affected one of my wrestlers.
Yeah.
And, you know, so for me, it was new. It was something that, you know, I hadn't experienced before. And then since Denzel, obviously we've had, you know, Kerry Miller was another outstanding heavyweight that followed Denzel up. And, so I've been pretty fortunate to coach some pretty good heavyweights as of recent.
Yeah, I've seen Denzel wrestle on, you know, on TV. You know, they bring him up and, you know, I get really excited and, you know, I'll show people and you know, people say, well, he lost. It's like, well, no, the whole point of him being up there is to make the guy that he's wrestling, you know, the well-known guy, look really, really good. So he did a really good job, you know, and those dudes are tough as nails. You know, the show must go on, they're injured or whatever. So it's really cool to see like an App State guy, you know, out there, and you're right, personality wise and just his look. I mean, he's really good. So that's really cool to see. I'm just thrilled that he's, and I'm glad he's happy, and I hope he continues to make it, because that'll be fun to watch.
I'll tell you the one thing about Denzel. You know, I spoke earlier about the work ethic of all of my All-Americans. He was probably one of the hardest workers I ever have coached as a big guy. I mean, he just worked out like a madman. He did all the right things. You know, if you're not close to our program, you probably don't know this story, but, you know, his senior year, for Christmas break, I typically give our guys off 6-7 days, you know, after our last match in December till the day after Christmas. And he lived in Winston. That's where his family's from. And he literally would drive back to Boone every morning throughout that entire break to work out with me, because he was afraid he was going to be falling behind if he didn't work out or if he tried to work out at home. So he would literally drive to Boone, him and I'd work out, and then he'd drive back and he'd do the same thing the next morning.
Wow.
And he just had a tremendous work ethic, great commitment. And it was awesome to see him reach his goal. And you know, very few people know he never even won a state championship in high school.
Yeah.
He was very under recruited. Nobody knew who he was.
Yeah.
And he came in our program and developed, and man, he turned a lot of heads before it was all said and done.
I remember seeing him. I don't think it was anything pro wrestling related. I saw a YouTube interview with him where he said that. He said he never won, you know, in high school like that at that level. And so the fact that he comes in and developed, you know, in your program is really crazy. You know how that works. And we say all the time, you know, with App State, you know, the motto is, you know, doing more with less and stretching your resources. And, you know, and especially obviously with football, you know, you go to 24/7 sports and, you know, they have all kinds of people dedicated to following football recruiting. It's one thing to get guys with, you know, the, the accolades and, you know, play for the big high schools or whatever. But man, there's that developmental piece that, you know, is extremely important. It seems like you've absolutely nailed that. You can't go, and, you know, credit to him as well, obviously, because he's the guy getting up and doing the work. But you don't go from that in high school to an All-American without some great coaching and putting in the work, you know, getting up early and coming to Winston. So that, I mean, that you can't rely on the blue chip of recruiting and whatever. When you get up there, there's work to be done. You got to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we've got a tremendous culture in our program right now. And it took some time to develop that culture that we have now. And I would say that the culture in this program now is the best it's ever been. But, you know, I think that's the big thing is you get these young men who maybe, you know, were not the top tier talent coming out of high school that are hungry, that buy into our system. And I think we've got a really good system in place. I've got great assistant coaches. We've got great support staff around us. You know, our strength coach does a great job. Our academic advisor, our nutritionist. And not to mention my assistant coaches, you know, they're all pieces of the puzzle. And I think the big thing is just getting our guys to buy in, you know, you know, when they buy into our culture, you know, you see some crazy things happen. I mean, like us having 5 conference champions this year, you know, out of half the weight classes, we had the champion in half of those weight classes. And 2 of them were walk-ons when they came here to Appalachian.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jonathan Milner, they're just All-American for us. He was a 1-time North Carolina State champ. Nobody else really recruited him, you know? And so, you know, it's just getting into our program, buying into our system. I think we've got great facilities, great history, a great system. If you buy into it, you know, and you work hard because that, you know, that's the big piece is if you got to be a worker, you know, if you're not a worker, you probably don't fit in very well in our program. So,
yeah, I love that, you know, and being able to say, you'd rather take a guy that is buying in versus a guy that maybe is more talented, but he's not bought in. Because you can work with that guy. You know, I remember one of the first time Charles and I ever even met way back in like 2013 or 14 back, you know, listening to Scott Satterfield talk about his recruiting class. And, you know, everybody's asking, like, what do you look for? You know, height, you know, you're looking for that 6'4" wide receiver. And he said, look, some kid comes up here. And I say, hey, look, here's what we got going on. Here, you know, here's how we do things. Here's the town. You like it? You don't like it? Then you're not gonna like it here. You know, it doesn't matter how good you are. So the culture and picking the right guys is crucial. I want to go back for just a second and ask you, talked about UFC. I know that's not exactly wrestling, but, you know, combat sport, not scripted like pro wrestling. Is that something you follow or are a fan of or no?
You know, I did quite a bit when, before I had kids. And now all the fights are so late. Like I'm an old timer now. I can't stay up that late watching fights. And, well, I'm not as, in tune with it, but I hear all of our guys. I mean, all of our wrestlers are super, into the MMA and the UFC, and they know every one of the contenders, all the belt winners. And so I obviously will pick up on stuff that I hear them say. And, you know, now that Tony's in the UFC, one of my former wrestlers, I'll probably start watching and paying a lot more attention just because it's a little closer to home. And, you know, it's a little personal for me now. I love it. I mean, I do enjoy watching it. It's just, you know, a matter of time, you know. We have kids and you're already exhausted by the time you get to bed.
So. That makes sense.
It's kind of like Canadian football. I mean, we may have watched it, but once Armani got there, we were really watching Canadian football.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So I'm sure it'll be similar with the UFC with Gravely. So that's awesome. Yeah. I'm excited for him.
Yeah, it is. Charles, I can't see in the chat here. Are you looking in the chat?
I'm not in the chat.
Okay. No, it's okay. Sometimes I can't see the names of the people. Is this, I think Nathan Horniman chimed in here. Does that name ring a bell, coach? Nathan Horniman? I was going to get you to talk some trash about him if you know him.
Names.
Yeah. It's okay. I was going to, he's an Avery County guy. He's an Avery County High School guy. I was going to get you to dish some dirt out here for him. He's the king of hot wings at the tailgate. So I just wanted to see, but, so I got an email today, that Dom Parisi is leaving Boone and taking a job in Wyoming. Obviously, he wrestled for you, coached for you too. Give me a good Dom Parisi story, because he hasn't been on BGP, but I've gotten to know Dom, like Dom a lot. Give me a good Dom story.
Oh, geez.
Keep it PG if you want to.
Yeah, Dom and I are really close, and I've got so many Dom stories. It's like, you know, which one do you pick? Okay, so this is the best one I'll give you, and this is I mean, I know a lot more, but this is the one that you'll appreciate the most. And you can ask Doug Gillen about this one, because he'll confirm this is true.
Oh, wow.
So we were at the Southern Scuffle like 4 years ago, and Dom, actually, maybe it was 5 years ago. I think it was his first year as a volunteer assistant for me. He had just graduated. I hire him as a volunteer assistant, and we're at the Southern Scuffle. And one of my other assistants at that time, who was always my roommate when we went on trips, Josh Rosa, who just left a couple months back at the beginning of this year and took a job up in Pennsylvania. He got a head coaching job in a Division III school called King's College. Anyway, Josh and I were always roommates on the trips. And Josh was flying in, because this was right after – this was New Year's when this tournament was, so it was right after Christmas. He had stayed back in Pennsylvania for Christmas and did some recruiting for me up at a tournament called the Powerade at Cannon McMillan High School up in Pennsylvania. And so he flew directly into Chattanooga on New Year's Eve. And so we had just gotten this black – you've seen the black athletic vans that we drive now that have the high tops, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so Dom's driving one of those vans. Okay, we just had got it. I think they just got the decals put on it. Doug had just rolled it in. We're the first people taking this on the trip. Dom drives this to we're at the hotel, and so he's like low man on top. I'm like, hey, go pick Coach Rose up. And I think his flight gets in at whatever time it was. And he goes and picks him up. I'm just sitting in the hotel room, and Josh comes in. And he's got this weird look on his face. And I'm like, hey, man, how was the tournament, this and that? He kind of sits down, and he's not really chatting very much. It's just really short. And then here comes Dom behind him. And Dom's just has this dejected look on his face. And he's like, Coach, I got something to tell you. I screwed up. And I'm like, well, what did you do? And he's like, well, you know how our hotel has a parking garage, and if you go down the bottom floor, it's only supposed to be so high, whatever.
Oh, Lord.
He's like, I kind of ran into the ceiling of the parking garage, and I think I've messed the van up. And I'm like, and Dom is bad to like to mess with me, and like we play jokes on each other all the time at work and stuff. Like I'll be in anywhere around the high country, and all of a sudden I'll come out of a store or wherever I've been, and my windshield wipers are flipped up, all my mirrors, and it's Dom, and I know it's him. And so I'm thinking, okay, this is another, he's messing with me. And I'm like, all right, not funny. You know, we just got that Van Athletics. Like, I don't want to have to call and tell. And I look at Josh, and Josh's like, he's not joking. So I'm like, I walk out to the parking garage, and half of that like popcorn ceiling is falling down on the van and on the parking garage. And I'm like, Dom, are you kidding me? We just got this van. And so the running joke when we get back with it, because I called my sport administrator at the time, and I told him what had happened. It was Brian Tracy was our sport administrator at the time. And then he relays it to Doug. And then we had like an all staff meeting the very next week. And Doug started calling that van Dom's van.
Oh, Lord.
Through the whole department, it was called Dom's van forever. Because he had to, like, I can't remember how much damage it did to the roof of it, but it was like pretty massive, and it was like brand new. And so Doug, they're still running a joke if you ask Doug Gillen about Dom's van.
That's hilarious. I'm gonna find some way to poke Dom about that at some point or another about a van. That's tremendous. Coach, man, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We're such a, admirers of what you've been able to do with the program. Your culture is really intoxicating to kind of watch how you and everybody interact, you know, online. We can see that, and you guys really care for each other. You guys do a great job. work hard, blue collar, and you do it the App State way. So thank you so much for coming on, and we hope it's not the last time, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it, AJ and Charles. Hey, you let me know whenever you want me back on. I'd love to come back on, talk App State wrestling, and you know, really appreciate all that you guys do for the entire athletics department. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, seeing you guys as a fan of the entire athletics department is a pretty cool thing. So we appreciate your support, and you know, thanks for giving us a little bit of coverage for wrestling.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm going to end the broadcast here in the 333 Club. Bye, everybody. And then I'm going to wrap up just right here. Everybody, thanks for downloading this episode of the Black Gold Podcast. And until next week, go Apps!